So I'd like to extend my welcome as well this morning and express my gratitude for being able to present you a lesson from God's Word. In many ways, it probably be more of a reminder of the kinds of things that you know we should do as faithful, mature Christians. The title kind of indicates a little bit of a contrast. Yep. That's okay. I can talk to you a little bit. The title of the lesson is Child or Adult. And I picked a graphic that you'll be able to see in a few moments about a very young child who happens to be wearing, I would assume, like her mother's shoes, very large shoes by comparison. And that title kind of sets the stage, if you will, for the lesson, which will kind of be a... in some ways, a series of contrasts, if you will. Here we go. And in some ways, almost some contradictions, at least that might appear on the surface. So to kind of set the stage, have you ever heard any of the following phrases? On the left side, act your age. Or just grow up. Or stop being a baby, or how immature, how juvenile. More recently, there's been a phrase that's kind of entered our vocabulary, and that of being a snowflake. Someone who, encounters the least resistance and melts down, throws a fit, etc. Clinically, there are phrases that describe this in its more pronounced stage, if you will. Peter Pan syndrome, people that just can't seem to grow up, or an adult child syndrome. In fact, in at least one case that I saw on the internet, today we have people who want to self-identify, biological men who want to self-identify as women, or biological women who want to self-identify as men. There was at least one case where there was this adult man who wanted to self-identify as a 9-year-old. Grown man, 9-year-old. And was living with his parents, and his parents enabled it. And you go, that's bad, very severe. But it shows the extreme case, if you will. It's interesting, here in America we have the word snowflake. I came across another phrase which I thought was interesting. Strawberries. Or a strawberry generation. We don't hear that in this country, but if you were Chinese, that happens to be a slang term for the Taiwanese who bruise easily, like strawberries. Meaning they cannot withstand social pressure, people who are spoiled, selfish, etc. That's on the left side. Let's go look at the right side. Don't be so serious. Chill out. Lighten up. I mean, take time to stop and smell the roses. Don't sweat the small stuff. Let your hair down. Listen to your inner child. So what we have now is the beginnings of the contrast, if you will. On the left side, people who are in a situation that, are not acting their age or need to act more mature. On the right side, people that may be acting, I don't know if I want to say too mature or too serious, and maybe need to relax a little. So again, we kind of see this contrast in these kind of common phrases. So when we come into the scriptures, we also see this kind of, I'll say contradiction. I don't know if I want to say apparent contradiction, but at the very least a contrast. So, starting off in Mark chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, I've got this up on the board, where, I guess parents, perhaps, brought some of their children, little children, to Jesus, quote-unquote, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. So here we have a very positive portrayal of us needing to be children, receiving the kingdom as little children. Very, very positive. And yet, 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul, the Holy Spirit, writing, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So we're to be like little children, but we're not supposed to be like little children. See where I'm going? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Be like a child. And yet Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So we're supposed to be like babes, but we're not supposed to be like babes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15, talking about giving evangelists, pastors, teachers to edify the body, come to the unity of the faith, measure the fullness of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine. So we're to be harmless like children, children of God, but yet we're not supposed to be like children. So what's up with that? Well, you could call it an alleged contradiction. It's not really contradiction. It's really more a sense of what's appropriate, right? Because sometimes we may find ourselves needing to be more childlike. And sometimes we need to be more grown up. Sometimes we need to be both. So what we'd like to do through the rest of the lesson is kind of keep this thought of contrasts, if you will, between a child and adult, and the attributes that children have and the attributes that adults have. And this is going to be somewhat general, if you will. So I need to throw in this, you know, obligatory disclaimer. This is going to be generally speaking. In general, children tend to, and in general, adults tend to. You know, not in every case, but tend to. And so kind of keep that in mind. And I'll throw those words out there kind of as we go along. So first what we want to do is look at children and their attributes. And then we'll look at adults and their attributes. And with children, we'll start off looking at typically positive attributes. And then we'll look at typically some negative attributes that children have. And we'll do the same with adults. So that's sort of the structure of the heart or the core of the lesson. So, off we go. Positive attributes of children. So, let's start off with a sense of innocence that typically children have. And this kind of innocence, this childlike innocence, if you will, is commended in some ways, positively, within Scripture. Starting off in Romans chapter 16, verse 19, for it says, I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, the word, at least in that translation that says simple, over in the New American Standard and the English Standard Version, says innocent as to what is evil. And, of course, that is in contrast with often false teachers who are definitely not innocent. In fact, more subtle or sneaky, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, disguised, if you will. But inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. Certainly not innocent, if you will. Another attribute, positive attribute of children is that of being trusting. trusting with their parents. Parents ask them to do something, etc. They trust their parents. The graphic here, I don't know if you can see it or not, is, you know, a small child, you know, leaping into the arms of their parents, for instance. That sense of trust. And again, there is an attribute that the Bible commands. Psalms chapter 115, verse 11, which is typical of many passages in the Old Testament. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then, of course, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, of love and agape love and the kind of attitudes, behaviors that would want us to adopt. You know, believes all things, hopes all things, you know, giving other people the benefit of the doubt, you know, kind of that trusting spirit. It is a positive thing that we as adults could learn from. Another attribute of children, typically, is that of love. I mean, love for, in some cases, siblings, at least before sibling rivalry kicks in. Open affection, open showing of love to their parents, you know, etc. And of course, we see that echoed, you know, throughout as a positive attribute, you know, especially within the New Testament, and in some cases, New Testament, which is quoting the Old Testament as well. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 comes to mind, where Jesus, in answer to a question, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Of course, that's directed to God, directed to neighbor. We also have Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Here's a lesson we can learn from kids as well. You know, that showing of love and, you know, kindly affectionate to one another, as Romans chapter 12 says. Something else that children tend to be naturally curious, inquisitive, wanting to learn more about their environment, what's around them, how things work, etc. This curiousness or this inquisitiveness. And that kind of attitude as well is commended in the scriptures when it comes to the scriptures themselves. For instance, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, talking about the Bereans, of course, probably figured out to go in that direction. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so that the apostles were teaching to them. In fact, we see that kind of an attitude by people who, you know, are associated, if you will, with, you know, spiritual things, Old Testament and New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, there's a reading about the prophets of old, given God's revelation to pass along to other people, you know, they were inquiring, they were searching carefully as to what was, you know, being revealed. In fact, that particular passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 goes on to say that this kind of revelation, which was given through them, and ultimately for our benefit, at the end of that passage, even the angels desired to look into. So again, this curiosity, this inquisitiveness, this wanting to know more, which children have, again, a lesson that we can learn from. And finally, just pure joy that children can often express, sometimes with the simplest things, you know, pure joy over, in some cases, you know, going out to eat at a restaurant, or pure joy at, you know, a pet or an animal or a puppy or whatever. Pure joy, pure excitement of seemingly simple things, right? And of course, that kind of attitude, joyful attitude, thankful attitude, can be easily seen within the New Testament. Passages like Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And likewise, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Verse 16, rejoice always, having that joyful, rejoicing spirit or attitude, if you will, that children so easily have and convey. So at least, you know, five different attributes of children positively reinforced in the scriptures that we can kind of take to heart and realize, you know, sometimes we need to act like kids, right? In these ways. However, turn the coin over, and there are some negative attributes that children tend to have that, in turn, the scriptures will say, no, you don't want to be like that, in contrast. Okay? So we start off with lack of knowledge. Yes, they're very curious. They're very inquisitive. They're already always exploring their environment, but sometimes with a lack of knowledge, and I don't know if you can see this in the back, but this is a, you know, relatively young child getting a little bit too close to the stove. Oh, by the way, it looks something like a pan of fried chicken on the stove, and you know, you could just see that it's turning into disaster, right? Just by a lack of knowledge. And children putting themselves into situations they may not even be aware of that are dangerous, potentially even life-threatening. You know, things like crossing the street without looking, running out in the middle of the street, as an example, for instance. From a spiritual side, we have that warning as well. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of, you got it, knowledge. In fact, as we were quoting Hebrews 5:13 earlier, that also talks about for everyone who partakes only of milk, you know, simple things within the scripture, is unskilled at the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So there is that danger of, you know, wanting to be, you know, curious and explore different things, maybe different doctrines, different denominations, different aspects of things that are really sin, exposing yourself to dangerous situations with potentially disastrous consequences as a result, again, from lack of knowledge. How about being foolish? How about being reactive? How about just, you know, getting into something and just not thinking ahead? I mean, the picture, and again, I don't know if you can see it in the back, has this young child going after the frosting that I guess her parents or mom perhaps was, you know, making for a cake, and she's taking it right straight off the beaters. It just happened to be plugged in to the wall. Ooh. Uh-oh. Just didn't think, did they? And that kind of, if you will, foolishness, just not thinking ahead, sometimes characterizes children, sometimes characterizes us. Okay, so there's a lesson that we need to learn. You know, Proverbs 22:15 talks about foolishness being bound up in the heart of a child. But also, we adults can sometimes be foolish too. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Didn't think ahead. Or Titus chapter 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were also once, there's our word, foolish, disobedient, deceived, etc. So we need to be careful. Again, a lesson we can learn from children, at least on the negative side. Not being foolish, thinking ahead, thinking about consequences of our behavior, negative things that could happen as a result, and all of that. How about being self-centered? Self-centered. And the particular picture that I picked is a person who is definitely self-centered. I mean, you can tell she is not happy at all. I mean, it's the classic. Arms are folded, furrowed eyebrows, scowling face. Obviously, something has not gone the way she would want it to go, right? Not that she's throwing a temper tantrum, at least visibly, but you know, you can see from the body language. Yeah, something isn't right. You know, very self-centered. Very much thinking about self. And we see that in a scriptural or spiritual sense, In some cases, for instance, Luke chapter 12, verses 18 and 19, if you remember the parable of the farmer who had very abundant harvest, richly blessed. Quote, for he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there I'll store all my crops and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Life is wonderful. It's all about me. And I'm set. Not. Because the parable goes on to say, that night he died. Right? The problem of being self-centered. Similar to that, within our culture, there's a phrase that's become unfortunately all too common. And that is, I am offended. I am offended at what you said. I'm offended at who you endorse. I'm offended at what you believe in. Right? I'm offended. I mean, you know, I could put more emotion into it. But that sense of, oh, it's all about me and I'm offended. Right? And even within the scriptures, there are spiritual cases of being offended or not being offended. For instance, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Of course, that's Jesus talking. And likewise, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 12, when Jesus' disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Again, the negative attribute of being somewhat self-centered, your emotions being there, somewhat vulnerable, taking offense easily, etc. An attribute that we need to be mindful of, be careful of. The next is in some ways a little bit similar, and that of being selfish. Kids can be so selfish. I mean, I love this picture that I found on the internet. So, and I can't really tell, where they were. Must have been some kind of a restaurant. Yeah, soft drinks. Two soft drinks, two kids, right? No problem. Wrong. This one's got both. That one has neither. Selfish. Mine. It's mine. In fact, I think probably after learning the word no, probably mine is often a very frequently a second word that a lot of kids may learn. And there is a lesson for us adults too. We need to be careful about being selfish as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Galatians 5, verse 20. Talk about selfish ambitions, being a work of the flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. And finally, James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if any of you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Again, a lesson we can learn from children. In a negative sense, don't be like that. Right? Being selfish. And kind of on top of that even more, again, emotionally, just in general, lack of emotional control. Okay? This is not meant to be too harsh, but it seems like no matter where you go, you always hear some kids crying, right? Because of, whatever reason. That lack of emotional stability, lack of emotional control, hurt feelings, etc. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Interestingly, the ESV translation says a man without self-control is like a city broken down. James chapter 1, verses 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And likewise, James in chapter 3 goes on to talk about no man can tame the tongue, unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then, of course, we have all different kinds of passages that talk about sinful passions or vile passions or lustful passions, emotions, etc. Romans chapter 1, verse 26, Romans 7, 5, and Galatians 5, verse 24. So a lot of lessons that we can learn from children, as we wrap up this part, from a positive perspective, that we can emulate and be like children, and from the negative aspect, that we shouldn't be like children. So let's, having wrapped up the child side, let's go talk about the adult side. Some positive attributes that adults tend to have. Okay, well, for starters, adults tend to be more knowledgeable, right? Because they've had longer time, more experiences, etc. And certainly within the scriptures, that kind of attitude or capability or attribute is commanded. John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Peter 3, 18, grow in the grace and knowledge, there we go, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And likewise, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge, good attribute within adults in general, but from a spiritual perspective especially, good attribute to have. On top of knowledge, let's talk wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal theme. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as, Jesus talking to his disciples, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And likewise, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So, just like adults in general in the world tend to be wiser than children, so should we in terms of spiritual matters. Adults can also be selfless. The particular graphic I got, off the internet, certainly within the sporting realm, from time to time you hear of cases where in like a competition, like one of the athletes or one of the runners, whatever, will trip, fall, get hurt, and one or two of the other competitors will selflessly stop and help and render aid or help the person walk along, or in some cases even help the person finish the race. And we go, that's wonderful. I mean, the competitors didn't win, but they did something even greater, right? Through the act of selflessness. Well, there's a spiritual parallel. Over in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, for example, Jesus talking, sitting down, called the 12 and said to them, if anyone would be first, which they were arguing amongst themselves, as Alan has talked about in lessons not too long ago, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And spiritual application. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, which we read part of it earlier, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Selflessness. Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Well, there's selflessness. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do not do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, there's some strong selflessness that we can learn from. Unlike children, adults tend to be more self-controlled. Okay. We talked about lack of emotional maturity with children. Okay, adults, in a lot of cases, got that taken care of, self-control. And likewise, within the spiritual realm, we see that as well. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. Self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. 2 Peter 1, verse 6, add to your faith, self-control. Again, something that we see in a lot of adults that we, you know, we need to have that attribute as well, especially in the spiritual realm. So that's the good side of the equation, on the adult side. But as you can guess, there's probably a negative side as well. There are some times negative attributes that adults have that the scriptures say, no, that's not something you want to do. Sometimes adults have a quote-unquote lack of common sense. I love this sign. I got it off the internet. You know, the sign says, you know, it's a street sign, okay? Cross the street. You know, cross only when cars stop. Duh. And yet, sometimes adults have this problem with lacking common sense in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. A couple verses that kind of relate. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Jesus, you know, speaking a parable to his audience. Can the blind lead the blind? Of course, the answer is, well, no. Will they not both fall into the ditch? Answer, well, yeah. So they have a spiritual application. People lacking common sense in a religious sense of just blindly following other people. What they say. It might be the preacher, might be the pastor, might be the priest, might be the father, whatever the case might be. And instead of exercising some degree of common sense, they'll just kind of, you know, go with the flow. Or, in terms of peer pressure, you know, we adults are not immune to peer pressure. We can just go with the flow and lack a certain degree of spiritual common sense. Says, oh, that doesn't sound right, but yeah, regardless, we'll go with it. Kind of related to that as well, a certain degree of quote-unquote human wisdom. I mean, there's a lot of knowledgeable, smart adults out there, which is nothing wrong with that, that start to, I don't know quite how to say it, they use their knowledge, they use their quote-unquote wisdom and their logic, if you will, to start coming to some conclusions that you scratch your head and go, I don't think so. Now, that could be, you could apply it in a couple different ways in the physical realm. I mean, certainly we have a lot of quote-unquote smart scientists who say, you know, the universe created a Big Bang, you know, 14.213 billion years ago. That, you know, all of life evolved out of the primordial ooze. Or you get into, you know, human wisdom in terms of the way, you know, people act and behave today. Like, quote unquote, you know, you probably should live together before you get married because, I mean, after all, that'll allow you to tell whether or not you're compatible with one another. Or, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're honest and sincere. Or, you know, who are other people to judge how different people want to act or how they want to express their human sexuality? After all, we're all equal, etc. Human wisdom. On the spiritual side, lots of warnings about that. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Several verses in there. Let me kind of cherry pick some of them. For since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Similarly, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning roughly verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, quote unquote wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness, quote unquote, foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Jews request a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. We've got a lot of foolishness out there. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So as adults, we need to be careful about over-elevating our own smarts, so to speak. Thinking more highly of our own wisdom than we should. And along with that goes a sense of pride. I love this. Pronounce it meme, right? Off the internet? Meme, yeah. Meme off the internet. I'm not always humble, but when I am, I'll be sure to tell you. We can get ourselves wrapped around a sense of pride. And, of course, we all understand from the scriptures that's not an attribute we need to have. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Or Proverbs chapter 27, the first two verses, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there, buy, sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And then, of course, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Three attributes that sometimes adults have that we should steer away from. So, we talked about children, we talked about adults. Positive, negative. Okay, so let's kind of bring it all together, so to speak, into somewhat of a composite view. Now, as I go through this, I mean, we can kind of quibble about, you know, some of the different wording or some of the different categories or some of the different colors that I use. But hopefully you can at least see the general sense. So I've got four columns. You know, a general characteristic we'll have down the left side. How that characteristic tends to get shown from a perspective of a child, from a perspective of perhaps a mature person, and from the perspective of someone who might be, I don't know, I can't say too mature, maybe too adult. And hopefully you'll understand more about that as we kind of go. Okay, so from a curiosity perspective, we talked about earlier. So, child, highly curious, wants to get into everything. More mature person, okay, curious, but somewhat cautious. Okay. Or an adult, no curiosity at all, knows it all already. Okay. So from that perspective, you can kind of see the place of balance, if you will, is kind of in the middle, right? Somewhat curious, but knowing there are certain dangers out there. That could be true in the physical realm, true in dealing with other people, true with, especially true with, you know, sin. It's like, no, yeah, I might initially be curious, but no, that's kind of, I could see where that could lead to sin. Okay, I'm not going to go down that path, for instance. And, of course, avoiding the whole, all right, you know, been there, done that, know it all, got it, right? Know everything. No need to explore. No need to read the scriptures, et cetera. Those kinds of things. So a kind of a balance, if you will. Okay. From a knowledge perspective, okay, in some cases, you know, children, innocent, more mature, knowledgeable, at the extreme being highly educated but in the wrong things, okay. So here we have, again, perhaps a point of balance. In some cases, we need to have knowledge, and in other cases, we just need to steer away from it. We need to be innocent toward, you know, innocent toward evil. Don't even go there. How about wisdom? Well, again, probably a balance as well. I mean, on the one side, you don't want to be naive. And on the other side, you don't want to be cunning and sneaky. Right? in your wisdom, but have in the middle more of a balanced godly wisdom. How about a sense of trust? Well, children, very trusting, totally trusting. You know, on the other side, you know, people that are just totally skeptics, right? Totally doubtful, totally mistrusting. Again, probably balance in the middle with a degree of trust, especially toward God, but at least with other humans, you know, some light reservations, will. Trust but verify, popular phrase. How about in terms of our emotions? Well, on the one hand, just totally emotional outbursts. On the other hand, totally cold, intellectually frozen, whatever. Some sense of emotional maturity in the middle. Okay, sounds good. How about a sense of happiness? Well, we talk about children and that sense of joyful, playful, wonderful happiness. There's value there. Also, somewhat mature, you know, rejoicing, you know, kind of despite the situation, depending on the situation. Even rejoicing when you wouldn't think we could or should, you know, all situations, persecution, tribulations, etc. Do we want to be so adult that we're joyless? No, that doesn't make sense. Again, kind of a balance with maybe a slight leaning toward kind of a childlike joy. How about forgiving? Kids, in some cases, you know, always forgiving. Adults, never forgiving. Or too adult, never forgiving. What's in the middle? Well, certainly having a forgiving attitude, and yet knowing that forgiveness is also kind of dependent on the person repenting. How about generosity? Again, you know, totally generous, totally selfish, give everything away versus demanding. Okay, again, maybe a balanced attitude in the middle. Being self-aware in how you're acting and how you're being seen by others. You know, kids, totally lack of self-consciousness, right? Adults being overly, or too adult perhaps, being, you know, overly self-conscious. And again, probably balance in the middle. How about self-esteem? Well, certainly, you know, we talk about kids and humility, etc. And certainly on the other end of the spectrum, we talked about, you know, being overly proud. You know, the balance point, you know, somewhere in the middle, you know, having a healthy amount of self-esteem, but also being very humble, which is kind of why I've colored in the first column. So if you kind of step back and look at the big picture, like in a lot of situations, where should we be? Well, as you can kind of tell, mature, not too mature. I don't have to quite sound right, but hopefully you know what I mean. You know, not too adult. And yet with some mix in of the positive attributes that children have. And as you might can tell, this is our last chart, it's like a situational blending of the two. Child or adult, coming back to our original question. Well, in some cases, we need to be more grown up. In other cases, we need to be more like kids. And for the last slide here, I pretty much picked all the positive, if you will, attributes from both. And therein is kind of the lesson that we need to have, that sense of balance, and both balance and a sense of blending together. It's not as a contradiction, but as being complementary. And that's the lesson for this morning. Appreciate everyone's attention. And as I said up front, most likely there was nothing new that you heard here. Most likely more a reminder from the scriptures of positive attributes that we as mature Christians should have. Some of them from being mature, knowledgeable adults. Some of them being more like kids. It hasn't been a fundamentals, first principle kind of sermon. But it does highlight to us the need to keep in mind of you know, how we are, who we are, how we act in all situations and try to pick the appropriate response. And, of course, now we offer an opportunity, again, to pick an appropriate response, that of perhaps becoming a Christian and setting aside perhaps childish foolishness behind. Or as an adult, as a Christian, having, you know, perhaps got into trouble, if you will, you know, in terms of sin,
privately, take care of it. Publicly, we offer that opportunity. Or maybe if it's just a situation where you need some, you know, help and encouragement from the congregation of, you know, having gotten into things that you shouldn't have gotten into, childishness on the one side or overinflated adultishness on the other side. Whatever the case may be, you have the opportunity to respond as we now stand and sing.